No.
Going to open the hearing on the Senate Committee on Business and Transportation today, June 1st, 2015. Just for everyone's information, I'm going to carry over House Bill 2941, House Bill 2281, and House Bill 3062 will be carried over. I am not going to hear House Bill 3056, House Bill 3317. The chair is going to open a work session on House Bill 2465, and the chair moves House Bill 2465 to the Rules Committee without a recommendation. Is there any objection to that motion? So ordered. The chair is going to open a work session on House Bill 3014. The chair moves House Bill 3014 to the Rules Committee without recommendation. Is there any objection? All right. I'm going to open a hearing on House Bill 2832A, Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 2832A.
We have a motion to suspend the rules for the purpose of reconsidering any discussion. Please, Jess, please call the roll.
Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Senator Thompson?
Nope.
Senator Riley?
I think
aye.
You have to be a yes.
Is that a good thing?
We do.
Oh, crap.
Senator Thompson?
Okay.
Senator Riley?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Gerard. Aye. The motion carries and the rules are suspended.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Vice Chair, I move to reconsider the vote by which House Bill 2832A was sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
We have a motion to reconsider the vote by which House Bill 2832A was sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Jess, please call the roll.
Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Senator Thompson?
Aye.
Senator Riley?
Aye.
Vice Chair Gerard?
Aye. The motion carries, and the measure is once again before the committee. I move to adopt the dash A7 amendments. Is there any discussion? Any opposition? The dash A7s are adopted. I move to adopt the dash A8 amendments. Is there any discussion? Any opposition? If not, the A8s are adopted. I move House Bill 2832A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? The motion passes. Do you want to carry that one or not?
I can.
Okay, Senator Monroe will carry. Okay, we need a work session. Should I just 2567? Let's just take care of that and be done with it.
That's good.
Okay, I'm going to open a work session on 2567. James, you want to talk to us about that one?
Will do. House Bill 2567, Mr. Vice Chair and Committee. We have heard this bill numerous times in the committee. We finally have a dash A7 amendment, which represents consensus among all groups. It replaces original measure, allows the distillery licensee to buy bulk distilled liquor from and sell to another distillery licensee for a purpose of blending and manufacturing, permits distillery license to have tastings of distilled liquor that are approved by the commission for retail and must be purchased by a licensee at the retail price, modifies conditions for joint tastings, alters the distillery licensee special events distillery license, allows the distillery licensee that have been appointed as a retail outlet agent to sell a location where tastings are allowed only distilled liquor that is on the list of approved products as manufactured in Oregon by the distillery license. Declares emergency effective on passage. There is no fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
So we need to move the dash
amendment?
Yes.
Colleagues, I move the Dash 7 amendments to House Bill 2567A. Any discussion? Is there any objection? So moves. The chair moves 2567A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? So moved. Who wants to carry? Anybody want to carry that one? Chair will carry. Okay. So we're going to stuck it over the top. The chair will open House Bill 2469 for a hearing.
Mr. Vice Chair, committees. House Bill 2469A establishes requirements for certain insurers to conduct own risk insolvency assessment and to file report of assessment with the Department of Consumer and Business Services, specifies conditions for sharing reports and related information, requires reports and related information to be held confidential by department and others in possession of the information, adds provisions to address risk management and financial oversight of insurers, becomes operative January 1st, 2016, declares emergency effective on passage. We do have a Dash 3 amendment. Modifies language for conformity, adds 705.137 to conform this series of ORS citations to other instances related to the sharing of information and the confidentiality provisions related to sharing information, clarifies the sum total of how many jurisdictions must enact the SVL to only requiring 42 total from a combination of the 50 states and the five non-state jurisdictions, clarifies that in some cases the data will be collected by designated statistical agents as this information is used by industry to develop experience tables and not necessarily just the director. Removes the references to the amendments to RRS 732.586 from the delayed operative provisions. There is no fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
Laura, you want to come on up?
Thank you, Vice Chair Girard. Good afternoon, Vice Chair Girard, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Laura Calley. I'm the Insurance Commissioner with the Department of Consumer and Business Services. And as mentioned, I'm here today to talk to you about House Bill 2469A engrossed in the Dash 3 amendments. The bill was proposed by the department to address two relatively technical changes to the insurance code that provide the department with tools that we can use to monitor and regulate the solvency of insurance companies and thereby protect Oregon's insurance consumers. This bill in particular is actually the combination of two model laws that have been developed by the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, and it's particularly important that we pass these two laws to allow us to maintain our accreditation. And so that means that other states can rely on our regulation of the solvency of insurance companies and streamlines regulation. So just want to talk about the two main components of the bill. There are two different concepts that that really provide us these tools. One is the own risk solvency assessment, or the ORSA requirement, and the other is a principles-based reserving piece of legislation. And I'll first talk about the ORSA requirement. So the ORSA portion of the bill requires that Oregon-based insurance companies of a certain size, in this case it's insurance companies with more than $500 million in annual written premium, or holding groups, so groups of multiple companies that include an insurance company that have more than $1 billion in aggregate premiums per year, have to file a document, an own risk solvency assessment, with the department that addresses the risks that face the insurance company. And it's a much more extensive analysis of the risks that face an insurance company than just the type of insurance that it writes and the normal kind of insurance type of risks that it faces. It's really more focused on the enterprise-wide risk, anything that might threaten the solvency of the insurance company and threaten the insurance company's ability to pay claims. These filings are going to provide us as the department with broader information about those risks, allow us to better assess their financial health and to work with insurance companies to improve their health if needed. And it really does it does something similar to something that an earlier bill in an earlier session came forward and did, but allows us to look at the entire holding group, the structure, the entire group structure of a company that might include an insurance company and not just an individual insurer entity. So it gives us a better view into what's actually happening in the organization. As of the end of last year, about six companies, or exactly six companies, would be subject to this. It's possible that that could grow as insurance companies expand their premium volume, but currently it would apply to only those six. So that's just in a nutshell what the ORSA piece does. The other piece is something called principles-based reserving, and it changes the way that insurance companies calculate reserves for certain life insurance products. And it moves the approach to calculating reserves from what exists today, which is a more formulaic approach, and moves it toward what we call a principles-based approach that reflects the underlying risk of the insurance business. And this is not really a new concept in the insurance realm, but it is not something that's been historically used for life insurance. It's common practice for property casualty lines. But the real key piece here is that the reserves, which, you know, the money that is being set aside to pay future claims under principles-based reserving, is going to be more reflective of the risk that the insurance companies are taking on. So it means they're going to more accurately set reserves. They're not going to be too high or too low. And ultimately, that means that rates are going to be more accurate, too, and they're going to more adequately reflect the reserving requirements. I won't go into great detail about the Dash 3 amendments unless you have questions. They make technical changes just to kind of adjust the language, and my understanding is that the stakeholders that we've worked with have no concerns about those amendments, and I'm happy to answer any questions that the committee may have.
Is there any questions at all? I think you're good.
Thank you very much.
Does anybody from the industry or anybody else wish to weigh in on House Bill 2469A? No? Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2469A. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2469A. The chair moves the Dash A3 amendments to House Bill 2469A. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? So moved. The chair moves House Bill 2469A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any opposition? House Bill 2469A is moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any volunteers to carry? You want to carry?
Sure.
Senator Thompson will carry. Close the hearing on House Bill 2469A. And I open a work session on 3318. Mm-hmm. On House Bill 3318, open a public hearing on House Bill 3318A. Have a few people wish to testify. I'm going to bring them up. Catherine Taylor, do you wish to, Representative Taylor?
Mr. Vice Chair, committee members, House Bill 3318A creates Oregon State Lottery Responsible Gambling Code of Practices Act as specified, directs Oregon State Lottery Commission comply with gaming code. There are no amendments. This has a minimal fiscal impact and no revenue impact statement issued. It's an indeterminate impact.
Representative, please.
Vice Chair Gerard, members of the committee, thank you. I'm Kathleen Taylor, State Representative, House District 41. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today about House Bill 3318, dealing with the Oregon Lottery's Responsible Gambling Code of Practice. You've heard before about gambling addiction and the problems that state-sponsored gambling have caused for vulnerable Oregonians. Oregon is one of only a handful of states that includes video poker and line games as part of its state-sponsored gambling offerings. These are games that that most activities and can cause the most harm. I applaud our current lottery administration. They understand the dilemma we face. We need to raise about $1 billion, but at the same time reduce the likelihood of harm. Working with various stakeholders, lottery officials have recently developed a responsible code of practice to, quote, provide a proactive approach to the promotion of responsible gambling practices. Responsible gambling practices ensure that the lottery's business is conducted in ways intended to minimize harm caused by gambling to individuals, families, and communities. This code of practice marks an important step forward. Like the casinos in Las Vegas, having a written code of practice assures that all participants, state employees, vendors, retailers, and players understand the expectations and procedures for conducting state-sponsored gambling in a responsible manner. We want to make sure these positive efforts continue long beyond the tenure of the present lottery administration. House Bill 3318 takes much of the code of practice and puts it in statute so that future lottery officials will be bound by these policies. I want to give special thanks to Elise Teresa DeZono, who's the chair of the Lottery Commission, my colleague, Representative Kennemer, who could not be here right now, and then, of course, Jack Roberts, who is here, and the advocates who are here today for all the work they've done on this issue. The governor supports this measure. It passed the House with a wide bipartisan support. I urge you to send 3318 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Thank you.
Any questions for the good representative? Thank you for your brevity. That's nice.
Thank you.
Okay. Greta Koh, Jack Roberts, and Alyssa DeZono. Greta, go ahead and start us off.
Good afternoon, Vice Chair Gerard and members of the committee. I am Greta Koh, Problem Gambling Services Manager with the Oregon Health Authority Addictions and Mental Health Division. I'm here today to provide information on House Bill 3318A, which establishes the Oregon State Lottery Responsible Gambling Code of Practice and directs the Commission to operate state lottery games in safe environments in a manner that facilitates responsible gaming and discourages problem gambling. AMH is in support of this bill. Problem gambling is a public health concern. Greater accessibility of gambling opportunities is shown to increase gambling among adults and youth, money spent on gambling, and the number of problem gamblers. Access to gambling has continued to expand in Oregon over the past 20 years. Because of this growth and accessibility, it is essential to mitigate the risks and consequences associated with problem gambling. This is done through access to prevention and treatment services and responsible gambling guidelines, policies, and practices. Responsible gaming and gambling practices are important to OHA, and the Oregon Lottery serves a vital role in supporting the Oregon Health Authority's problem gambling services. If the Oregon Lottery was to take a less active responsible gambling stance, Oregon's problem gambling services would be negatively impacted on many fronts. To most successfully reduce the gambling-related harm, the issue needs a comprehensive solution, and this bill would support our partnerships and effort. The Oregon Lottery is an integral part of that solution, and without the lottery's active involvement, OHA's efforts to reduce gambling-related harm will be hampered. Currently, we appreciate and value the partnership we have with the leadership and staff of the Oregon State Lottery. We have been working on numerous efforts together over the past years to increase awareness of the possible risks and harms that can be associated with gambling and to help those affected reach treatment options available. Just this past month, as part of one of the strategies of the Code of Conduct, OHA, community providers, and consumer representatives participated in a focus group to give input into a new training curriculum for lottery retailers and player encountering lottery staff to better help them understand a problem gambler, our treatment system, and how to possibly assist someone to help resources. House Bill 3318A ensures that no matter what leadership changes occur within the lottery or the commission, that the strategies within the code of practice will be implemented and that gambling-related harm will continue to be addressed and reduced. I appreciate the opportunity to share this information with you today and would be happy to provide you any additional information if you have any. Thank you.
Okay, go ahead, Jack.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Jack Roberts, Director of the Oregon Lottery, and we're also very pleased to be able to support this bill. When a similar bill was before the session last year, the direction of the governor's office was that we should remain neutral, and the bill did not move, but I made the promise then that we would go ahead and adopt something along these lines anyway, which we have done, and with the leadership of our chair, Lisa DeZono, who's going to be batting cleanup here, I guess, but she and others on our commission have been very dedicated to this for some time, but it took really getting the coordination all together to try to work and implement this with the help of some national experts and people we've been able to talk to. So from our standpoint, we think it's a natural progression to embody the basic principles of this in statute with the understanding that it will continue to be a living document and we'll look for ways to improve it, some of which we'll be able to do simply amplifying what's already in the bill. But in some cases, if it's in statute, it'll be a chance to come back with the legislature and help make sure that we have that connection with the ultimate policymakers in the state. So from our standpoint, we think this is a strong progression, and we're very proud of the work that we have done. And so with that, I'll turn it over to Chair DeZono.
Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Vice Chair Girard and members of the committee. My name is Elisa DiZono. I am the chair of the Oregon State Lottery Commission. It's the 30th anniversary of the Oregon State Lottery this year, and it has given us an opportunity to remember all of the good things that the Oregon State Lottery has done at the behest of the citizens of Oregon for economic development projects, parks and watershed restoration, and education. What Representative Taylor and her predecessor, Representative Tomei, have done in carrying this bill forward to ensure that the lottery's responsible gambling practices remain at the forefront of the lottery's mind as it continues to do these good things for the next 30 years and hopefully forward is very much appreciated by myself, the governor, and our lottery staff. As Representative Taylor mentioned, Oregon has been a pioneer in terms of the revenue that it's produced and the ways that it has gone about generating lottery dollars for these projects. At the same time, it is important that we keep in mind that we do not take advantage of vulnerable populations. And the work that Jack Roberts and our staff have done has just been exceptional. I had the opportunity to participate in the first annual Northwest Regional Responsible Gambling Summit last month, and it was remarkable how much praise Oregon got for the steps that it has done to both fund and address responsible gambling in the state in conjunction with its mission to produce revenue. With that, I want to encourage passage of this bill and, again, thank the Governor, Jack Roberts, our partners at OHA, and Representative Taylor for their support of this bill.
I would assume you have a question or not?
No.
Any questions for this panel? Okay, thank you so much. Anybody else wish to testify on House Bill 3318A? Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3318A, and I'm going to go to a work session on House Bill 3318A. The chair moves House Bill 3318A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? Senator Thompson is opposed. Senator Monroe wishes to carry. So moved. Colleagues, I think that's it for today. This is running through a pretty rapidly through the agenda.
Good job. But
for those that don't remember, we're carrying over. Should I do that?
Mm-hmm.
House Bill 2941, House Bill 2281, House Bill 3262 are carried over. 3062. Sorry. And I did not hear intentionally House Bill 3056 and 3317. We are adjourned.
Okay.